sorry, but I think this qualifies as a mad rant. Actually, it's a set counter step on my part to be gloomy. So we'll see how it goes. I awoke into a new dream today with blue vacant eyes staring into heaven, and a swirl inside told me that time was now different. I knew my doldrums had come to a halt, my conscience no longer a pillar of salt. I want my spirit out of its fault, my soul controlled without a bitter fault. I'd like someone to share life with me even, no coma soulmate for a poster child reality. We'd find beauty outside the screen, then write the advert in the middle of your dreams. No more background periphery, just God watching our ballet of beauty. Seeing our hearts bleed into each other, tinkering with the machinery of our new life. Sex, money and free will, dreaming of worlds larger than our own. With a smile for everyone, anesthetized in the joy of the setting sun. And now I know life is not about throwing the finger to stability in some false rendition of keeping it real, but rather about holding hands with someone in the park as your children cycle away. Okay.
I'll finish Richard. Richard Hall, thank you very much.
Thank you. This poem is inspired by a quatrain, a fragment by an early medieval poet from Cork called Morn of Cloyne. I do not wake. I do not wake to a weak stanza after lush and dream-rich sleep. My verse is rest from a Lenten fast, grace distilled from Christ's own cask.
And tonight's champion, Rob.
Thanks. I'm going to do a bit of Ravi Bones, because Emo said that's what she wanted to hear, so Ravi Bones. You! My father was a farmer from up on the Carrick border, and carefully he raised me in dignity and order. He bade me act a manly part, though I never had a farthing. For without an honest manly heart, no man was worth regarding. So out into the world, my course I did determine. Though to be rich was not my wish, to be great was charming. My talents, they were not the worst, nor yet my education. Resolve was I, at least to try, to mend my situation. Through many a way and vain essay, I courted fortune's favour. Some cause unseen still stepped between, to frustrate each endeavour. Sometimes by foes I was overpowered, sometimes by friends forsaken. And when my hope was at the top, I still was worst mistaken. And then so harassed and tired at last of fortune's vain delusion, I dropped my schemes like idle dreams, and I came to this conclusion. The past is dead, the future's hid, it's good or ill untried, but the present hour is in my power, and so I will enjoy it.
It's my first evening here, and that's me right on after someone like Brad. It's like a hard act to follow. I'm from Connemara, so I have a very short poem and a very short stanza. Nach Ovnil, the band will imagine upon your name.
So, Anish and Donald Maloney, that one.
This is just a short section from a long short story. And it's just from the start. The story is called Appetite. And if I burst into a coffin fit in the middle, just it'll pass.
Okay.
I got Sky Sports when my marriage broke up. Moving into a flat prompted a decision about television and money. So I did some calculations. Complicated ones because of uncertainty about my financial obligations. And the sums came out right. During the dimmer seasons of the year, I watch football, tennis, and late-night snatches of cricket from the Southern Hemisphere. But the subscription was really for the summer and live test cricket in England. And here it was, the Saturday of the second test between England and South Africa, play about to begin. My body is cuddled in armchair, cushions and footstool. Steaming beside me on the armrest is a mug of elaborately prepared coffee. The sports sections of two newspapers lie scattered at my feet. On my agenda for the day is nothing that can't be accomplished during breaks in play. Tomorrow I'm picking up my son Alex and bringing him to watch his old man play in my Taverners team's annual 50-over challenge match. The only thing that can ruin my weekend is rain in West Yorkshire or Dublin. Unfortunately, the two places I'm counting on to be dry are West Yorkshire and Dublin. I've been looking forward to this match for weeks. The West Indies series earlier in the summer just whetted my appetite for competitive, hopefully rain-free cricket. A wedding in Sligo on the weekend of the first South Africa test meant following most of that one on my phone. The excitement I was feeling had a special flavour to it that recalled summers past, watching games on Channel 4. Michael Atherton frozen in a backward defensive stance as Glenn McGrath menaces his off stump, and Richie Beno purrs in approval that might be for a particular delivery or the bounty of life. I'll go further. For the past few weeks, I've felt enthusiasm. One way I've negotiated the monoliths of free time since the separation is by trying to expand my repertoire of batting strokes. For years, I've muddled by as a blocker and a lever. As far as positive stroke play went, I had a cut that was often a hack and a late pull that was often a heave at air. Still, I was determined and hard to remove, which was enough to put me amongst the top scorers in our team. Though there was some grousing about my scoring rate from the give it some welly or get out trying brigade. England's batsmen start on 48 for 0, chasing South Africa's first innings total of 419. Strauss and Cook are cagey and can't quite settle. There is talk of heavy showers. A good ball by Philander crashes into Cook's pads. It looks plumb. On your bike, I shout at the television in a voice mimicking Shane Warne's. I don't want Cook to be out, but if you're out, you should walk. It's as simple as that. I know professional cricketers are under big pressure, but principles are principles. I'm a fan of sporting behaviour in general. I mean, you wouldn't believe the way some people abuse the no LBW rule in our Taverners games. Cook waits a review before being shown the finger. The rain arrives in West Yorkshire. I consider the prospect of a frustrating day of stop-start cricket. I read an article about the Curiosity rover and the 7 minutes of terror the powerless scientists will endure as the probe descends to Mars. The umpires call an early lunch and I follow suit. The skies clear and play resumes. Strauss goes for 37, caught behind. Peterson comes out, gets in and starts hitting out. My old college friend Niall and I start texting about what we're watching. Sandwiched between Niall's text is one from an unfamiliar number. Had fun the other night. How are you? Audrey. Kiss. The other night was last Saturday, and Audrey was a blonde-haired solicitor I'd been introduced to by a mate of Niall's. He was near the end of the night, and I couldn't say if we were talking for 15 minutes or half an hour. She was funny, I remember that, with a dry, sarcastic humour. I flirted away, expecting her to get bored or offended at some stage, but she was sitting beside me at the end of the night. I couldn't tell you if I was attracted to her. Her lips were too small for her mouth and her gums glistened. In my mind's eye since, that feature has morphed between an attractive kink and a horsey gob. I can't remember giving her my number, but then again, I was pissed. I look around at the newspaper's bowls, plates on the floor, my monkey legs sticking out of the end of my dressing gown. I watch Peterson smash Stain down the ground for six.
do I really want to risk getting involved in something? I text back, hi Audrey, the chap with you made my night. All fine here, doing a few odd jobs. How are you? Is your back any better? I'll leave it at that.
Thank you all. And our final speaker tonight is going to be Christy.
Right. I'm really sure what I read here. I have a long poem, so I'm going to read that from a different place. And I just read one from this book that I brought out some years ago now, Don't Step in the Poems. It's just cow shit on the front of it, but that's not a real cow shit, it's just pretend cow shit. And this is a very sad story.
There's nothing wrong with cow shit.
But I haven't eaten any of it. this is a love story, basically, and it's very, very, very sad. I only read this once every year because it haunts me so much. And even then I can't sleep for 2 days after doing so. It's called Me and Myself, and it's a love story. I was out and about every night, never missing a club or pub crawl. I flashed my smokes, I cracked some jokes, I told stories true and tall. I tried to be kind and I was sincere, I paid for taxis and takeaway beer. I dressed up well and the aftershave smell told you when I was near. I spoke to girls for hours on end and was careful to care and not to offend. I patted their pets, even settled some debts, and I did my best to blend. I nurtured my look and I learned to cook, and I always lavished with praise. I even cried when the old folks died, and I carried coffins some of the ways. I drove girls home, I lent them my phone, I invited them in for tea. But it was all such a waste, for I was nobody's taste. No one, but no one, would go out with me.
Oh.
But I said to myself, I won't stay on the shelf. I won't let my emotions be bled. If I can't get a date with a feminine maid, then I'll ask myself out instead. So I arranged to meet me at 3:15 to go for a walk and a chat. I showed up on time and I got along fine, and I arranged to meet again after that. I'd say, here's the deal, I'd go for a meal, and after that, let's just see how I feel. If I could see out late on the town my date, or perhaps an early night might appeal. Sometimes I'd hold hands and I'd stroll on the strand, and then I'd bring myself for a beer. But once sharing 2 drinks in a corner, I'd think someone caught me a drunk and a queer. But I didn't mind, and neither did I, for I was so happy with me. And I wasn't too shy with people nearby to sit myself up on my knee. I'd walk myself home and linger some more at the front door, chatting away. Then I'd take out the key, go in and make tea, and inquire if I wanted to stay. I thought it was that. But the aching would start if I wanted to part, for I just didn't want me to go. I plead with a smile, oh please stay a while, for I miss me more than I know. I had so much in common that I could not go wrong on whatever I wanted to do. I shared the same humour and the truth in the room, while I shared the same bedroom too. But while I'm not possessive, I was getting obsessive that one day I'd meet someone else, and I feared for the danger that I'd fall for some stranger and break the heart of myself. So in a short while, I bought a mobile, and whenever out of town on a trip, it proved very effectual as the affair turned textual with every... But there was sadness in store as I saw myself more, and I watched it all slipping away. I now knew me so well that I always could tell what it was I was going to say. You know what I mean? Bedtime became boring, and I'd almost stopped snoring as I lay looking up at the ceiling. And it was like I was numb when I grabbed my own bum, and I knew I was losing my feelings. The entire situation took dead frustration, and the outlook grew desperately bleak. There were mood swings and things, and it still makes me cringe. I didn't talk to myself for a while. Then one night, out of spite, I had a big fight, and I can remember each hurtful word still. I bought 4 rounds of drinks and kicked up a stink when I refused to pay half of the bill. I was both sober and plastered as I called myself bastard and other names that were not very nice. I had the chair at my head, hit the barman instead, and he came around and threw me out twice. Out on the street, I quickly got to my feet, threw a punch at myself in the mouth, kicked myself in the grind, and a punch in the spine, bit a bottle and knocked myself out. I sent a report, it all ended in court, where I sued, and was sued, for the trouble. A 300-quid rap was the judge's sharp slap, which he then decided to double. The very next day, I went my separate way, and never since called back or phoned. You take a big chance when you embrace the romance, better off being alone. And you